Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Previously on Podcasterole.
Glomer is one of the most underrated cartoon characters of all time.
Some call Glomer the Jar Jar of the PBU, you know. I haven't stepped foot inside of a Subway since, really.
And neither is Jared.
It's true.
You're over at my home every week. Is there a meth lab here?
Not a big one.
I choose him, the one called Kirk. I'm freaking James T. Kirk.
Find out more about Podcasterole now on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Google Play. And don't forget AdamandJP.com and the ESO Network.
And welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you finally a review of Spider-Man Homecoming. Because you're not going to hear the hyphen unless I say Spider-Man. It is complicated to say Spider-Man as opposed to just Spider-Man. It's not implied with the hyphen. Whatever the case is, as whenever Mr. Gene and I get together, we let the F word and other adult languages fly without a cause in the world. So this is not a very family-friendly or not safe-for-work podcast either. But nonetheless, if you enjoy us and past podcasts, you will love us even more. And if you've never listened to this podcast, you will love us now. So, with that, I'm going to turn it over to us, talking about Spider-Man Homecoming.
Your thoughts, since you just saw this fresh.
I liked it, but I'm still confused about it. It was a good movie, I enjoyed it, but I've never... It's so layered. I mean, it's so weird, because it's a movie in the MCU, and I was looking forward to it, but not quite, because I'm kind of burnt out, you know? I've kind of got that superhero, all right, I got to go see this, you know, here's my money, and even though I was excited about it, and the movie was able to get me there, the way it's presented to me, it's like a coming-of-age John Hughes film, which confused me. It doesn't feel like a Marvel movie at all, to me. It felt very much like a teenage film, like,
which happens to have a superhero.
Right, which completely blew me off, and it grabs onto that. It doesn't escape that through the entire film. You know, it's more of a coming-of-age film, or like, now you are a man once you've got this, you know? Mm. And we're doing a spoiler review, so, and I was touched, and it got to me when the Vulture collapses the building on top of him, and he wakes up, and he starts crying.
Yeah.
I was like, he starts calling for help. I'm like, this is sad, because you realize he's a 15-year-old kid, and he's scared.
Right.
You know, and I really felt I had some little tears. I'm like, oh, someone help him, please. He's all alone.
Well, you know,
I
Tony
knew.
Bailed him out twice. I'm like,
yeah,
no,
I know.
He's
no,
not
I,
coming back.
No, yeah.
This is all you.
And even though the effects for that scene were not as great as I hoped, they were okay. And I was still like, okay, that's a transformation. That's when you realize, no, I'm kind of by myself, and I'm Spider-Man. This is me.
Right.
This is my own fault. I gotta clean up my own mess. But I liked it a lot, but I don't know. It's still too fresh in my mind. I got to digest it.
Yeah. Well, considering how much I've seen the other movies, and over the weekend I had rewatched The Amazing Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Andrew Garfield.
Did you have the hot Taco Bell with you that time?
No. But it was just... this movie itself is a much better rendition of who Spider-Man is, more like the comics. Mm-hmm. We have not the organic web shooting, which I kind of missed that, but it's fine.
That's weird, Monty, that the organic web shooting thing. I mean, that's Sam Raimi's creative decision to
do
that.
I know, but that actually was kind of cool. So, in this version, he does create his own webs.
You don't see it, but yeah.
No, he does. He does like a mixing.
Yeah, quick. Yeah.
Close the drawer, and then that's it.
I'm like, what, you're doing that in Poston's class, Harry Potter?
And then, whereas Garfield, I think he bought it online or whatever.
Something. He's supposed to be a genius, yeah. Whatever.
So here, it gives you the sense of, this is the early days of who Parker is, and it's fine, but I could not relate to him because he's fucking 14.
But do you need to relate to him? You already know his character.
No. What I'm saying is that, okay, when I look at Tobey Maguire and you feel the struggles that he's going through, I didn't feel what Tom was going through was something that was just like, I can sympathize, I can empathize. I didn't get that connection at all. I loved his performance. He's fantastic. He's a joy to watch. But the problem lies is that I could not get emotionally connected to him, so whenever he has this appeal to someone else that he's in love with, it doesn't come across as whatsoever.
Right, it's not, what you have, Tom, is not sexual love, or love between a man and woman, you have puppy love.
Right, and that's exactly what it is.
And the funny thing is, when I was watching the film, I felt very much like I was watching a John Hughes movie. It even does a tribute, a tip of the hat to Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Right.
Right? A direct steal from that.
Right.
And they even referenced the movie, and I'm sitting there going, you know, if I were younger, this would be phenomenal for me. Just like when I saw the movie Hackers with Angela Jolie back in the day, I thought, if I was a little younger, I'd be crazy for this film. But this Homecoming movie was like, oh my God, I'm too old. I can't remember what it was like to be a 12-year-old kid and to have these problems, because I'm three times that age now, four times that age. I'm like... But I get what you're trying to do, but I can't get in that world anymore. And I can appreciate it cinematically and story-wise and character-wise because I know the character you're doing, but what you're doing with this, it's so unrelatable to me now. I'm like, I've got more in common with the Vulture. Like, I got to make payments on the house. Right. I got to do this. I'm like, I get him. He makes perfect sense to me. Although, why are you living in that big, expensive house? I don't know.
Unlike Peter Quill, who throws in a lot of references as you and I get, but he's an adult.
Right. Pop culture.
So we can live through him because we are almost exactly the exact same. But because he's not there, it's not my Spider-Man. My daughter, who's 16, said that is the best Spider-Man she's ever seen. And she's seen them all. But because of the age thing, that's her Spider-Man. So this is kind of like the James Bond moment. Is that,
or the Doctor Who's.
Or the Doctor Who's. So whoever you're attached to, that first scene, that's it. That's your person. So, to me, again, sadly, or unsadly, but it's Tobey Maguire for me first, Tom Holland, and of course, Andrew last.
I hate him.
Although, again...
I'm glad you got your Hacksaw Ridge or whatever it is that you're supposed to...
The Social Network, that's the moment that I'm like, I saw what he can be as Peter Parker. I saw what he can bring. But what they gave him was crap. It was complete crap.
Well, he had Emma Stone for a while. I know.
And now he doesn't. But again...
Wait, what do you mean Macaulay Culkin dated Mila Kunis? Mila Kunis? The Mila Kunis? Sorry.
Mila Kunis.
That was for all of us. Oh my God, I'm going to die.
So, it goes back to the problem with the Amazing Spider-Man was that you had to do a reboot. He did not need to do a reboot. So this is what worked for me in Homecoming, except you didn't need to do this. The character's off and running.
But that's the gift of the Marvel Universe, and that's the gift of Kevin Feige. The man who knows all of Marvel, who just connects all the things and goes, no, that'll work, that won't work, you can do that.
Which goes back to, except you don't need to do an origin story for every single character.
No, the story was tight.
Right.
I love the way, like Tony Stark's like, okay, so Happy's gonna be in charge of you, I'm just gonna walk away.
Yeah, I'll be here. Here and there. That's it. All about Happy. I'm like, this is way too much happy that I need to see for any given time. And I was getting really unhappy with happy. That was my only gripe. It was just really...
My gripe? I have some gripes. My gripe was Karen. Even though voiced by Jennifer Conley.
Right, who is the wife of Jarvis.
That's hysterical. I'm like, wait. No, you can't be that flirty. You can't be that sexually aggressive. He's 15. He doesn't even understand.
Why don't you tell her how you feel? What? No.
Now, kiss her now. I'm like, oh my God, no, don't do that.
Why don't you?
You're upside down, but I like the way he was upside down. Like, yeah. No, you're stealing from the Tobey Maguire movie. You can't.
No, and they didn't. Thank God. All right, so for the most part, the problems that I had were just not so much nitpicking, but it just seemed a little bit off. The events of the Avengers.
Wow, we're going to line it up? Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Play the timeline. Go ahead.
This is 2012, right?
Ish.
We have, was it Tombs? No, Loomis.
Tombs.
He's cleaning up after whatever the tech to get, you know.
2012, right. Then 8 years later. So now it's 2020.
Right.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Right. So that's the problem that I have. Before then, we had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. saying they're there to clean up and get all the tech. But then we get Damage Control, which, while I was doing research, is like, it says Tony Stark's Damage Control. Mm-hmm. So what the, no. Something's all screwed up with that because, again, when we look at Dark World, Thor 2, the episode after that movie aired, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was saying, well, that's what we do. We're here to clean up. That's what they do. So what the fuck is Damage Control coming in all this? That's pissing me off. Because not that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that high on my list, but...
You talk about it a lot.
But if you're going to establish this multi-universe and it's all connected... What the fuck?
It's like 16 movies. It's not going to be perfect.
I know, but it's
TV shows. The only way you can do it is you got to backlog the show. And just the year it came out, the year the Avengers came out, is not that year in the Avengers universe or the MCU.
Right.
That's the only way it works. So you have to forget the year it came out and just go with it.
Okay. If he's 14. Oh,
God. and he was in Iron Man 2. Right. that's a start experience thing. Then no, I'm not. I can't go down this path. Just go with it, man.
So if he's less 8 from 14, that makes him 7. No, I can't do math.
Sure, you can.
He's 6. Yeah, he's 6. Was that a 6-year-old that was in Iron Man 2?
I don't know. He's wearing a mask.
Which someone said. You know what? What if it was the guy who was robbing a bank, that was his mask that was Spider-Man encountered later on. I buy that over him being Peter Parker, that being saved by Tony Stank.
That's just something that Tom Holland said in the press review. I don't know.
And I'm like, you gotta, fuck you. Don't you say shit like that. That is such bullshit. You know? That's like saying Luke Skywalker already knew that Darth Vader was his dad before he said it. Bullshit. You don't put that crap on you. You don't. That's the one. I'm like, fuck that.
Well, you know, Monty, from a certain point of view...
And it's bullshit. From that point of view, it is bullshit.
Just don't crush my fantasy world. Just let's let them have it. Just enjoy the film. God. It's not all going to line up. It's too many stuff.
No, they've done an excellent job of lining shit up. But because this is Sony's world now... I think.
And yeah, Venom is going to be in the... And Kevin Feige's face was like...
I'm like, oh! But you... No. No.
Yeah, you're going to build your own franchise. It's going to flop with Tom Hardy on its own. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, they're not going to connect, right?
No. Spider-Man's not. No, I got plans for that. Don't...
I was like, Amy, shh. You're getting off the topic here.
Can I see you over here? Can we cut the mics?
Pause. Time out. So, one of the best things that I liked, Vulture doesn't die.
I love that. I was like, when he runs back there, I was like, oh, please save him. Save him.
Right.
And then to see this 15-year-old boy carrying an unconscious...
So, that's a good... I love the fact that, like, Now you got a villain who's been established, who has a kind of a moral code.
Yeah. Like, look, you saved my daughter, so I'm going to give you this one.
Right.
Walk away.
Right.
Don't ever come, don't open my mansion again. I'll kill you and everything you fucking love. I was like, okay.
So you have to respect what he has, you know?
But I still don't understand some of the decisions he makes. He goes back. Yeah. I'm like, I would have been like, whoo, got away with that. I'm going to show his daughter a good time and have a great time. I'm not going to go out there. But instead, I go back and lift up the entire locker system, which I'm like, that's cute.
I know.
But, okay, and like, oh, man, gave you a choice. You chose wrong. Just like, Jesus.
And I don't think for once they ever called him the Vulture.
No, they don't.
Which is a good thing, because the image that, from the comics, is not this weird geezer in a very furry costume with wings.
Agent 2, right? But this is... Perfect update. Right. Like the Tinkerer thing, like the Prowler thing with Danny Glover, like the, man, you know, I got, and the line, the beautiful lines about the, you know, like, yeah, I got my nephews in the area. I'm like, wow, that's Miles Morales. And then the...
But it's after the fact.
That's going to dissolve it too. I was like, man, I got ice cream. Like, that's perfect because he gives Miles Morales ice cream.
Right.
Just, oh, so many Easter eggs.
So, and I'm like...
And the Star Wars stuff.
What can you say about Han Solo? Nothing. I don't think Rutgers got fired.
But we clapped. We're like, yes! Oh, that's so sad.
Rob Howard's coming?
Yeah. Oh, my God! Yeah! I love the background. Great. That was like a long time ago. Have you seen his other movies recently? He's made other movies? Yeah, The Heart of
but
the...
But still, he's great.
Yay! Full Richie splash. Cunningham. Splash. Daryl hit his ass. Yay!
So, Ned is another great character that I loved. He wants to be the guy in the seat, and he is the perfect person to be Pete's best friend. I'm just like, he's hysterical.
Got a little annoying maybe for you? No,
no,
not at all.
I'm just like, I was 100% with him more so than with Tom, because I get him.
He's just nerdy. I don't think he gets to wear the mask.
He's wearing the mask and all that and while waiting around. Oh, my God. And then the whole line about, what the hell are you doing here? You know, with the with computers, like, watching
porn.
But it reminded me of, like, Fortune Hunter, that stupid, crappy TV show.
Oh, the Indiana Jones spinoff? No.
No.
What was that? Well, Tales of the Gold Monkey. That's what I'm thinking about.
Right.
That's not
it. Fortune Hunter is the one that takes place in Fox. But they use Disney sets, like in...
Wait, what was the... Is that the Hulk Hogan one? What was that called?
No, that was...
That was something completely different. They're in Epcot. They're, like, swimming in the living seas.
But, right, they used the living seas. They used the Morocco set. And I'm like, that's Morocco set. It was crap. But it was one of those that, as the guy who was leading the agent... He would duck when the foe that the lead agent was fighting, and he was going to get punched, and then the guy on the radio would also duck, which you thought, like, that's fucking ridiculous, but whatever.
Was there a video feed? You're just doing it?
Yeah,
just...
it was a video feed, so he's watching through his eyes, so it's POV.
Uppercut, body blow.
Finish him!
Flawless victory. Go ahead, yeah.
Parker turning down the Avengers. I thought it was great.
I didn't understand that, even though it was weird. I was like, oh my God, it's the spider, it's the Iron Spider suit, it's the spider, I was so nice. But yeah, it was like, no, I'm going to just go back to here. I was like, that's kind of cool.
Which just goes back to what I love, the fact that he is really, literally, the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Everything was on a local level. It wasn't as if he went to Manhattan, at least not in, for the most part. It was all in his neighborhood. And that's what it was.
I loved when he causes the destruction of the deli he goes to. He knows he's calling the name of the man. Like, Spider-Man would not know my name, but then he grabs the cat.
Right.
And I love, before we go any more further, love the return of Gwyneth Paltrow. Just so refreshing. She looks great. And she wasn't in the Age of Ultron, and yet she was like, I would have been there, but they didn't call me. I'm like, why didn't you... And yet now, because Lori asked me, I watched my friend Lori, she was like, so are they married now? I'm like, probably.
Well, or at least engaged to be married.
It's probably going to, because it's fine. It moves the story forward, it's nothing.
Right.
It costs you nothing.
Right. But here's my problem with that. She gets fourth billing on the credits.
That was strange. And yet, you don't see her at all. You're right. Like, oh, is she on the poster? No. Oh. She's a surprise cameo.
And gets higher billing than most of the cast that is on that. And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
She's that bigger than them.
That's not the point. That's exactly what happens with Captain America, Civil War. It's Tony's name. It's Robert Downey Jr.'s name over Chris Evans, and it's Chris Evans' fucking movie.
But he inserted himself into that one, just like he did with this one.
But at least in that case, it's a little bit more. I'm fucking Iron Man. I built this universe. She hasn't. She's happy. Gets more screen time and gets a lower credit than Gwyneth. Come on!
Gwyneth's an Oscar winner! Yes, but John Favreau directed Jungle Book, Gene, and Chef, and he knows how to cook!
And they won a Saturn Award for Best Animated, or Best Fantasy Movie, whatever that was.
They didn't like that, but anyway, Jungle Book was not my favorite
movie. No, it wasn't. All the songs were horrible, especially King Louis's song. I thought about that the last podcast.
I watched that, and I was just...
Although, mildly aroused with the snake.
What?
Because it was Scarlett Johansson.
Okay, you're talking about Jungle Book. I'm like, there was a snake in the
movie. Yeah. The snake that was never in the book, in the movie.
You saw her, right? We watched her together, right? We were like, oh, Scarlett Johansson's voice much better than the poor girl from Minority Report.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
So,
Ghost of the Shell comes out soon, July 20-something. Nice. Yeah, we're going to buy it and watch it secretly. Like,
No, it's fine. Again, I'm behind on my other spinoffs or the other shows that I'm trying to produce. The last post-credits scene that you waited, what did you think about that?
Oh, hysterical. Lessons about patience and, like, being disappointed. I was like, really? You're going to shove that up my ass? Fuck you! But it was funny as hell.
It
like,
was.
Yeah, you're disappointed. Like, how many more of these do I have to do? Like, oh. No, but my favorite thing was the was it post-credit? No, the Aunt May walking in with the just before she cursed.
Like, what the?
I was like, that was, brilliant. So happy with that. Thrilled with that.
Speaking of Aunt MILF, I mean,
Aunt May. Oh, dear God.
She was a little, again.
She's Marissa Tomei. You've had fantasies about her since My Cousin Vinny.
This is better than my.
You get to see her in The Wrestler. You get to see her tits in The Wrestler.
I know, but you know what? I find her more appealing. Being older, the way she looked.
Like Robin Wright? And
yes. Yes. Then Princess Bride. I would pick Robin Wright, that's in Wonder Woman right now, over her character in Princess Bride.
You haven't seen her in House of Cards. But okay.
But it's the exact same age.
Oh, that's scary. But her character portrays pretty. Right.
But again, going back to Marissa Tomei, I would pick her now over when she was in...
Well, we're still the same age. We can actually do that and make that work now.
Yes, we can.
And now we know so much more about the world. Like, look, I have a balanced checkbook and savings. You wouldn't be struggling. We don't have to do sandwich night.
And if not, I have porn. Whatever. But I just thought they played a lot, and maybe it's just me wanting... But I just thought they played a lot more with her appeal.
Script was very clever and she's supportive.
Right.
Which is great. She only gets mentioned a lot. Her flirtingness, when guys hit on her, she has no idea what's happening.
Clueless.
Which is funny. The sandwich guy, you get this hot Italian money. You know I speak Spanish. Right. All right, $10, give me more money. He's like, no. But
ordering the Indian, the rice pudding.
Right.
I'm like, I didn't order this.
Oh, and Tony Stark's initial comments, I'm like, oh my God.
And Hottie?
Yeah.
No. So, again, it's...
But she's there and she serves the purpose. I didn't like the fact that, you know, she has that, I'm panicky, and where have you been? Why'd you answer my calls?
Right.
Bullshit. But I did like the scene later on. She's like, May, I need your help. And they do the whole montage of how to... Dress for the prom, how to tie the tie. She doesn't know how to tie a tie. It's perfect supportive.
But no, they have a YouTube.
So perfect supportive parent thing. Nice.
Right, and that's exactly, and this is my one time only connection because I also had to go to a dinner with a girl and I had asked my parents, I need your help. That was my moment that I could relate to Tom's character because that's what you needed to have someone walk you through the process. You need a corsage. Pick up some flowers. Be nice. You know, don't
touch.
Open look, the don't door. Touch. You know.
Put on the corsage, which was just right, terrible. So like, oh, yeah. I took it down. Smile for the pictures. I can't. I came down. I love these. Like, I'm holding this knife. I'm just talking to you. Like, oh, yeah, that's. No, I'm getting a little teary. I remember those moments, though.
Yeah.
My dad taught me how to tie a tie. My dad taught me how to ride a bike. They're paramount moments. That right. You have to do that. Right. But.
So, again, that's the kind of stuff that I'm like, okay, I felt that because I went through that. So it's
relatable, constant, right. Teenage, right. Relatable moments.
Right. But that's the problem. Those moments I got, a lot of the movie didn't really fall in with I can connect to the character a lot more. I felt more of a connection to Ned than to the Parker.
The movie has a very 80s teen thing. Again, it's like a time machine.
Right.
But a time machine that you can't go back in. You can only watch. Again, the music, from the minute it starts, the retro 60s updated music thing.
Right.
Then the movie by Peter Parker, the whole Avengers thing from a different point of view. But then the next like half hour where he's in high school. I remember those moments, but I can't feel it anymore. It's too distant.
I know, but even then, but why is it that the moments that, like, the parenting stuff, we can connect more? Is it because we're much older now?
Well, there's some universal things. Like, no matter what, when you're hurt and you're scared, you're going to end up calling for your mommy.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, you're just, you know, like, oh, Jesus, mom. Yeah. It just, that's how it is. I think also the unpleasant, watching the unpleasant awkwardness of high school again.
But that was, okay, let me bring
in. The innocence, like. You're never going to be able to go out with her.
Yeah, that was something that was not really unattainable. It wasn't as if, you know, you really hit the jackpot, Tiger.
But
that was not that moment.
Innocence to the whole thing.
I know, but
the thing is, you got to keep your classmates safe. Which, again, I didn't buy the whole, you know, again, you caused your own problems, Peter. If you and Ned hadn't fucking brought that Chitauri stuff with you to the Washington Monument.
Right.
If Ned had been more attentive and realized, I pick up this thing and it's hot. It's burned through the bedroom sheets of the hotel. And it just needs some radiation explosion. You caused your own problems.
Right.
Just like the batteries in Guardians of the Galaxy. Same thing.
Right. No, I agree with that.
And you've now marred a national monument. Which was cool because I'd never been on that. And I was like, is that what it's like? Oh. You don't know? I don't know.
Let me bring in Buffy. Watching that TV series, the problems that she had with her mom, she was said there are things that you just don't understand, which was code about, I'm growing up, this is who I am. But that layer of a double life made it so much richer because you knew what she was saying, but the mom was thinking one way that she was just thinking about teen stuff.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me. Marissa Tomei has that comment like, yeah, I know, I hear you going out at night.
Right.
I'm like, what kind of an undisciplinary parent are you that
we'll
go out, right? And like, you're out to like, I mean, fine, 2 or 3, no, not even 2 or 3, maybe back by 11, I'm sure. He's only 15.
Before midnight.
He's responsible.
Right.
But like, you hear him leaving, you know he's like, I lost the internship, it's dark. You're like, all right, that sucks.
Right.
But I don't meddle in your things. I don't know, are we getting a grant for this? Are you going to college? I don't know.
So, to me, when you have that double side that, you know, he has to keep this private, it didn't work as well like it would have done, like, on Buffy. And that level, she has this world that she has to fight and deal with. Plus, on top of that, going to high school. That was a better mix of dealing with the supernatural stuff and what you have to do every day as a kid, a teen.
But I think that's the rush of the story. Even though the story didn't feel rushed to me at all, what I felt was like, I'm Peter Parker. My life in high school sucks, you know, and I can't wait till 2:45 and I get to be Spider-Man, but I really don't know how to be a superhero, which was the whole thing of it.
Yeah.
This is his first arc. You know, you just got this great, wonderful thing in that Tony Stark freaking found you, brought you to freaking Berlin, let you fight with the Avengers.
Right.
As an Avenger, quote-unquote, but you're on the wrong side, potentially. I'm on Team Cap.
Right.
You're unfortunately on Team Stark. But anyway, it's fine. You know, I'm going to look after you. You're a kid. But you're learning the ropes.
Right.
You know, you then stupidly disable my protocols to keep you safety. I mean, I right. love the whole, even though I thought it's taken up too much of the script.
Yeah.
The, you've updated your you've turned off the safeguards of your costume. It's going into assassin mode, which I thought the eyes were really cool. And like when it goes black, I'm like, is that a nod to the Secret War thing? Because Batman has a different suit and the eyes look slightly different. But I like that. I did like the way it's like, I don't know how to use this suit.
Right.
And I don't know how to get out of this. And I love that he makes an amateur mistake. The Vulture has the portal. He tries to jump up through the portal. He jumps. Portal's closed. He gets knocked out. He's in the thing, underground, five stories underground, whatever. Fine. But the thing is, the story still, it's solid storytelling. I can't, I mean, how angry do we get sometimes, like, oh, the story was great till the third act. This was good, I think, throughout.
I think, really, it didn't take off until the third act, until you got the confrontation with Michael Keaton. That's when it finally picked up.
Because it solidifies.
Right.
Because this is the threat. Because right. otherwise you're just watching, like, oh, that's interesting.
Right.
It's mildly interesting. Right. I don't care. Oh, here's this small time thing. But, okay, we're bringing it to an apex.
Right. So
here's your conflict.
Right. And at least that's a little more satisfying in that sense. Now, the other thing that I liked was he talked about, you know, you and I, Pete, are like, not necessarily lower class, but we're in the lower rank.
Right, those big guys that they eat their table scraps.
Right, exactly. And
they don't care about us.
And I watch, what's the movie? The Short. It was on Netflix. The one with Christian Bale, Steve Carell. It talks about the
big one.
The Big Short.
The Big Short, yeah. I want to watch that, but I haven't watched it yet.
Steve Carell is a hedge fund manager, I believe, and he hates when big guys shit on the little people. So he's looking for a way to fuck them over. And what he finds out, what the banks are doing, he's all in to get back at the banks. So when I see that and what the banks have did to all of us, that speech feels a lot more real because of what Tony has all this money for. So I understood that connection better between the two of them. Not so much their adversaries, it's just like, no, we're on the same level, you and I. So, but his house, as I mentioned later, it's like, you know, I understand you need to make money, but he's got a fucking nice house.
Wait, is this his wife or his ex-wife?
It seems like that was his wife. It doesn't seem like...
That would be interesting to see what that... But no, that doesn't make sense either. I don't know. I think that the movie does a lot of things right. I like the way that it shows the time constraints of a successful person like Tony Stark.
Right.
I can't watch over you all the time, kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is what I can do. I've got a few minutes. Dude, you coming up while I'm complimenting you? Don't do that.
Really busy right now. He sends a suit to go after him. And I'm like, he's not there yet.
Yeah, he saves his life. Because, again, that stupid Spider-Man parachute that I didn't know you had, that he didn't know he had, which is weird.
Yeah.
I did think, again, that the suit does take a little too much away from Spider-Man. I didn't like the narration of, like, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? Do you want to do this? It's like, no, just let him...
Spider-Siri. You can stop with that shit. The other thing that I was kind of missing was the Spider-Sense.
Yes, he doesn't seem to have Spider-Sense at all. They don't use that at all.
Because otherwise, he would have felt Aunt May come in and just like, hey, go up on the ceiling or do something. Close the door. Nothing. So that's...
He's so careful before he webs it. It doesn't look behind for Ned.
Right, exactly.
I guess Ned's non-threatening. He's not moving. He's just like, what the fuck?
But even then, he should have said something.
And I'm sorry. If I walk in on my teenage son, who's topless, and he weren't there before, you're staying with your best friend with a broken desk.
I'm right, exactly.
Put some clothes on, yes. The question would be, what the heck were you guys doing?
Right.
Which we're just going to completely jump over, because homophobia is not a thing anymore, and it's... Just do what you want, but I don't know.
It's just guys doing guy stuff, you know. Like Dad did. But he's dead.
I learned it from watching you.
Alright, so that's one of the things that I didn't like. No spider sense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Zendaya, who plays Michelle. Or as we later find out, she's MJ.
The Nerdist threw me off on that. Okay. They had a podcast. I was like, we think Najaya is the romantic lead, is the daughter of Tombs. And I thought, oh, okay. Uh-huh. So I was ready for that. Never happened. Right. Guess what? Liz is the daughter of Tombs. You're right. A prom date.
But the bigger question, the bigger question is, did you buy this? This little twist at the end of like, oh, she's supposed to be MJ?
There's no consequences to this universe.
Right, there is none.
It doesn't matter.
But this is like going back to where she denied that she's playing that character. A la Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say.
Like, Khan.
He made me lie.
Right.
He made me a liar, so JJ.
And I'm like, I remember that shit, and I'm like, you did not just do this shit again.
It doesn't matter. In the end, it doesn't. The fact that Gorgon is introduced. Gorgon, that's the scorpion. He's the guy in the prison.
Which I missed the tattoo, the back of his arm, because I'm like, oh, whatever. But it was like, I don't, like, what the fuck is he talking to?
The fact of the matter is, they're just planting seeds that may or may not grow.
Right.
Because God knows what's going to happen in the next 2-3 years with the Infinity War. We know that Spider-Man's going to be our God because he's our John Crichton. He's the eyes of us.
Right.
The layman.
And he'll kick off Phase 4. So we'll know he'll be around.
And the cool thing is, again, by hiring such a young actor, we're going to grow with him. And he's going to have, hopefully, more adult adventures. This was just a kid thing.
Yeah.
And it was appropriate. I liked the feeling of this. The things I took out of this movie, again, is like, you know what? I'm glad they made him that young. I'm glad we get to see him in high school. But this was just, this is fluff. This is a prelude, you know?
Right.
Which is like, kind of like, wait. So this is a prelude. So what the hell was Captain America Civil War? That was issue zero. You know what I mean? This is the prelude. We take this real slow.
It's the prologue to the prelude. What?
What?
Really?
But the thing is that the idea is that no matter what, you like this Spider-Man better than Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield. True or false?
No.
No.
No. Tobey is it.
Toby, Spider-Man, 30-year-old Spider-Man. He's just a kid. I'm sorry, you need to get your glasses checked. He's not a kid.
Look, I think...
I don't know, mind you, I mean, I was there. I
think that it's a better performance all around with Toby. Because I felt, and I've always thought about this, that if I'm going to be looking through the world through a person's eyes... And they have a love interest, and it turned out to be MJ, Kristen Dunst. I fell in love with her, and that whole upside down scene with her and him kissing.
Oh, but then you must have hit that Spider-Man 3 scene. Like, let's see the kiss. Like, you took our kiss.
Right.
You gave it to.
But put that.
Shut up.
Put all that shit aside. That's the kind of thing that I. That's what I want to feel. I want to feel that I can swing and you literally...
From a thread, taking a look overhead.
Hey there!
There goes the Spider-Man!
But literally, there's a shot in which you're swinging, like a POV shot, you're swinging through the caverns of the skyscrapers in New York City. Mm-hmm. Superman.
And then you get distracted and your rush to stop and you fall to the...
But in Superman... The way that they started to do the flying thing is that there's certain moments in the film in which the camera starts flying above the characters, and you start to get a sense about what the flying is going to feel like. So with Spider-Man, with Sam Raimi, I got to feel what it's like to feel like shooting webs and sailing through the caverns. Like, that was amazing. I couldn't get that sense with Tom. Nor with the fact that he gets the girl, you know.
And he doesn't get the girl.
Well, he did. Toby did.
Oh yeah, they Toby, but not Tom.
But again, like you said, and we talked about, it's puppy love. This is not the thing you would want to get so hung up over. You'll get more women down the road.
I don't know. I feel.
Although I love the fact that we're at the prom. Everyone's waving high, and she sticks up the
middle finger. Yeah, I was like...
Hysterical. That was the one moment that I fucking love her now. Everything else...
Is she over 18? Can you have these feelings about her? Are you allowed to have...
I think she's old enough. Because they did,
I don't know. Where's she from?
Disney.
That's the Raven? No, I get
Sister?
No. Oh, God. The Descendants? No, I don't know.
I forgot what series... But She did a karaoke battle with her against Tom Holland. You can look it on Google.
That's YouTube. Fine, yeah.
And she did Bruno Mars, but Tom killed it with a Rihanna song with the umbrella. So he got dressed up as Rihanna and did a...
Israel. Tom Holland's a brave, fearless man.
He killed it.
I remember, I think Jimmy Fallon, is it Joe? Jimmy Kimmel? I don't know, one of the two Jimmys, did Daniel Radcliffe doing Alphabet Something, a rap. He loses his accent, and it's amazing.
Yeah. The things that I also noted, there's a shitload of writers.
Yeah, but it works. Unlike normally when this is right. A problem, let's bring this guy on to polish this.
Right. Usually it's like we say...
Got problems bringing this
more
guy.
Than three.
We need a script doctor, yeah.
More than three, I think that's a problem. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 writers.
I hope you don't get an Academy Award nomination, because that speech is only two of you going to get to talk. And one of you going, I just want to thank my wife. And then that's it.
Go to sleep. Oh, can't talk.
Real my quick. Kids!
So, and one of them, I forgot which is the kid. Is it John Francis Daly? He is in Freaks and Geeks, and he's also the therapist in Bones. So I've always liked his character, but it's a shitload of people that I'm like, holy crap, that is a lot of people. So I'm not sure if this was all worked together, or it was just different versions, and then the last guy said, let me polish it up and I'll...
And you're never going to know. Like, you remember, like, Matt Damon or Ben Affleck? Yes, right. I wrote this script to Good Will Hunting, the robot chicken out of a... Can I put my name on that? Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, out of the... Did you ever see the Amazing Spider-Man movies?
Yeah, I did, unfortunately.
Okay.
Wow, Dennis Leary's ghost. The ghost of Captain Stacy. Wait, so let me get this straight. He falls into a thing of eels. He's obviously dysfunctional.
Yeah. Although, what worked for me in that movie is the soundtrack. Because it gets really electrifying with him. At one point, they're in the power station.
Talk about two, right?
Number two, yeah.
Not and the one where they move the cranes. Let's help him out! Come on, boys!
Well, let's all light him up! I'm like, God, really? But he's beating the shit out of Spider-Man. And he's banging him around, and he's playing It's a Busy Spider. And the music is playing that. So every time he's banging into another tower, he's banging another note to Itsy Bitsy Spider. And I thought it was hysterical. Not much of a stretch over the first movie, but it was better because of the soundtrack. And because there was Uncle Ben's already dead.
Well, look, you and I we love our soundtracks. We understand that soundtracks and music are a great big part of the cinematic experience. That is rarely appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, for one, would watch movies when I was younger. Not so much lately, although, yay, Hulu.
Yeah.
Hoopla, sorry. But soundtracks, they bring you back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the beauty of if the music can work without the visuals, then you got the story in your head.
But this movie, again, it plays with the rules. It's like, okay, we'll give you your soundtrack in the background, then we're going to play a pop culture song from the 80s, when you were growing up, Gene. How's that going to fuck with your head?
Right.
I'm like, wait, why are they playing Flock of Seagulls at the homecoming thing? I know this song. I can karaoke this song. What the fuck are they doing?
But it's not Guardians of the Galaxy good.
No.
That's the difference.
Well, wait, no, not the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, the first one.
It beats the second one.
Oh, yeah.
Because I knew these songs.
Right, and that's a whole other issue, because I listened to that, and I got that for Father's Day, the CD. I'm like... No.
The second one?
The second one.
I'm so sorry.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work at all. First one's awesome.
There's Brandy is a great song, and there's a couple of other good ones, but as a whole, no. But with this one, I'm like, I don't understand, like you said, why is this happening now? It's not as if someone says, I love the 80s, so I'm going to play all these songs. It's just put in there to make you feel as if you're going back, but that's not the same as watching Guardians. Because we had Peter being connected to that music, whereas it's kind of like, who is this for?
Did you get any feelings, by the way, during the movie that Tom Holland is playing Marty McFly? That Tom Holland could be a handsome, buffier, built more like Michael J. Fox?
No.
No? Okay, because I was just getting that for a while. And just like, because his voice when he screams for help, I was just like, that's Marty McFly, kind of, I don't know.
So out of the now six movies, yes. How would you rank the movies?
Oh, God, really? Okay, I can do this. Spider-Man 2
right.
is on top for me. Then this Homecoming movie. Then this first Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
Then Amazing Spider-Man 1. Then Amazing Spider-Man 2. Then the third. Because okay. I hated the third movie. Third movie was god-awful.
Okay. Well, Spider-Man 2 is number one.
Yep. I agree.
Spider-Man, the first one, with Tobey Maguire, is number two.
I didn't...
Only because we never got an origin story. We never got a Spider-Man before.
This, right, so it's the first thing. The breaking of the ice.
Right.
For you.
Right. So it
you never forget your first Spider-Man movie.
I can forget the second one.
Oh yeah. Well, no, you can't. Well, the Amazing Spider-Man stuff. Yeah. But I hated this movie so much.
I know.
I don't know why. It's just like you are ruining the franchise. But
I would put third is Homecoming.
Third. All right.
It's still
prerogative.
Okay. Now, fourth, as problematic as Spider-Man 3 was, comes in fourth.
You knew this was coming, Peter.
Yeah.
You know, like, wait, come on. You guys are friends. You know, back in the day, what if your father, to protect you, was like, what the fuck?
Tell me, two movies ago, you know, you could have saved a whole lot of trouble.
I tried to kill my best friend. It's like, so what if, to save you pain, I burnt that nose? Like, man, Alfred, it's been years. Do you understand that I'm a recluse now? Alfred. You're telling me this shit now? Goodbye, Alfred.
Alfred, the soup is cold. It's fishy spots, sir.
Just, all right, you
why are you letting Vicki Vale into the cave?
I turn around and run. Hey, Michael Keaton, yay.
So as many problems as that movie had.
Dancing Tobey Maguire.
No, that was worse.
Emo dancing Tobey Maguire. You're going to forgive that. Wait till my CGI. Kristen Dutch just screaming. Reduced to
That's
a screaming
not her
role.
Fault.
I know. I'll do Spider-Man 4. I can do something other than screaming. All right, we're just going to reboot.
Right. I love the Sandman story. It was interesting.
I
love the fighting. But the retroconning of... Not the... That gunman. He's the gunman. And I'm like... No.
And you shouldn't have... I'm sorry. I know that you got bullied into throwing venom in.
Right.
One villain. Not three.
Right.
Jesus. What are you doing? And then the third guy tries to verify himself to the end. Like, oh, Peter, you're my friend. Let's work together. I'm like,
right.
Oh, no. You're Batman and Robin-ing it. Don't do that. Oh, God.
But there's no spider nipple, so at least they got that. So as bad as that is, it's still better than The Amazing Spider-Man, which I picked number two as number five and the first... Amazing Spider-Man as number six, the worst.
The first one is worse than the second.
Yes, because of the whole reboot. The whole retelling that origin story makes no sense. It was a waste of time. And then, as bad as the whole backstory with Ben's father or his parents and the airplane scene, I'm like, it's still better than the whole fucking movie. From the first
one. I'm sorry, I just can't. I just... Wait, so Gwen Stacy dies because even though...
Which I love!
The scene is cool. The shoot the web. The web itself turns into a hand that reaches out. And it's not the fall that breaks her neck.
It's
the fact that she hits the ground. So let me get this straight.
You don't want to blame Parker. You just want to blame gravity. Not yet, like the comics.
You just pull a little...
I know, but that would have been more...
You're going to forgive the fact that the cool closing trailer thing. The trailer is the last shot.
Don't get me started, okay? The Rhino.
Like, what are they gonna? Oh, they cut. They fade to black. Fuck you, Sony. Fuck you.
That's how bad the first movie feels for me. Out of all those problems, it's still a better movie than the fucking first one. That's how bad it is. So if you're gonna put shit in order. That's your shit. Your shit is number one. Is Amazing.
I'm not watching these films again.
And I kid you not, I left it reading, like, on Hulu, playing and looping, and I'm like, this is like the third time I'm watching the second one. And I'm like, God damn it, really? So the kids were watching it with me, so I'm like, oh, whatever.
The kids will get you through it.
All right, so, out of the MCU movies, we'll start with the Iron Man 2008. onward.
Oh, no, I can't remember all those
things. No. But where would you put Spider-Man in the top 5, top 10? Where would you put Homecoming?
It's like 6.
6?
I think. Maybe top 5, because the thing is, I liked The Avengers and right. Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy is still my best. Guardians of the Galaxy 1 is the best. We didn't need 5, 6 different movies. We're going to give you one movie, and we're going to make you understand and like these characters immediately, in the right. first hour. That in itself is an amazing writing and directing process. Right. It doesn't happen every day. That was magic. That was lightning in a bottle.
Right.
All right. The Avengers, you had all the build-up. That was great.
And the payoff.
And then the payoff.
Right.
I like that. And then, yeah, okay, I'm going to give it number 3 for me, Civil War. Because that was... So I was like, okay, we fucked up with the Avengers movie, with the Ultron movie. Take this!
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll take that. And, yeah, here's a tip. Like that a lot. Actually, you know, and then... you know, I know you like Winter Soldier a lot.
Yeah.
But that's not mine.
No.
That's not my favorite. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's okay. I'm gonna put Spider-Man Homecoming at number 4. I think.
Wow.
And then number 5 for me is Thor, the first Thor.
Okay, yeah,
because the Iron Man movies just don't. I mean, I know they're like, but you don't have these without that. These are the building blocks. I'm like, that's fine, but that's early stuff. You know what I mean? You were still finding your feet. Now we have all these great layers that we're building on. Spider-Man Homecoming is a great movie. I want to say good, but no, it was great because the thing is, it seamlessly fits in there. You know, it's like, wow, you removed that jingle piece and nothing moved.
Right.
The structure is still intact and there's the piece. You did a great job. I think in retrospect, mm-hmm. just like the way we're like, Force Awakens is a good movie. No way. Let's think about this for a while.
You might have thought that.
I like the prequels. Phantom Menace was a good film. Wait.
I love
Wait
Jar
a few
Jar.
Years.
He's the best. What?
But I think Homecoming will grow on you.
Oh, definitely. It will.
I really do. But the thing is, it's not... It wasn't designed to knock you off your feet. It was just designed to get Tom Holland in there. And again, it is so clever. It outsmarts you as a moviegoer.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know why you like it. You don't know if you dislike it. But that's kind of the idea, because it will grow on you. Because the more you see Tom Holland's Spider-Man portrayal continue to grow. Like, we're going to get Infinity War, the first part, next year. And then you go back, and by then, you're going to get all this stuff.
Right.
You know, and you're going to go, you know what, I like him. And he's going to grow on you. That's how the infection starts, okay. You know?
What do you think about introducing the Sinister Six?
Oh, God, that's a Sony product. I'm not even going to talk about
that.
If Drew Goddard's on it, the guy who created Daredevil, I'm all in. But if he's not, I'm like, oh, no.
But would you do one movie with six?
No, you need Spider-Man. There's no point.
No. It's him versus the Sinister Six. That's what I'm... If we had a problem with two villains, with Sandman and Venom, and
it can be done. You see Guardians of the Galaxy, it can be done. The thing
they're fighting one villain.
Eh?
The first movie, they're fighting one baddie.
Right.
Not six.
Look, if you can imagine it can happen, there is a way to do it. Mm-hmm. We can't see it now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, I never would have imagined that Spider-Man would have been able to be put in the MCU.
Right.
Never. And the thing you filmed, congratulations, Josh, you filmed the Age of Ultron movie, and at the end they break up or whatever, what have you, and then you get this scene. Like, yeah, wait, did that happen that way? I'm not sure that happened that way. Anyway, because...
Oh, the one with...
But he had a shot, like, yeah. All right, this is the new Avengers. And he's like, yeah, I would have loved to have, but I couldn't do it.
Right.
Because I hate Marvel Studios and screw you all. But you know what I mean? I never would have imagined this possibility. This makes it possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, again, the writing on Spider-Man Homecoming is good. It is very good. It's very complex. It's like, this wine has flavors of rosemary and smoky, you know, maybe true, maybe
so you're
false.
Saying it has layers, like an onion?
Oh, God, no, parfait. No, but it's better than you think. Again, I just saw it.
No, I know.
And the weird thing that's sad, though, Gene, do you want to see it again? No, I don't.
Yeah.
I'll wait for it on DVD, which is sad, because that wasn't what it's designed to do. Wonder Woman got me back in the seats.
Which is what I was going to ask you next. And that was kind of alluding to in our last conversation, is that Spider-Man Homecoming, Tom Holland versus Wonder Woman, who gave you the better feels?
Wonder Woman.
Right.
Because Wonder Woman, though, appealed to my movie-going philosophy, the philosophy of who I am, who I want to be, who I've forgotten that I was.
Right.
It went for just primal, just do nice things, man.
Right.
Just do it. Mm-hmm. Just because that's what you should do. With Spider-Man Homecoming, it's like, you should do the right thing. Always do the right thing. But it wasn't as insistent. Mm-hmm. You know, even though it's great. Again, even though he goes back and Michael, he saves Michael Keaton. And I'm like, God, that's what you should do.
Right.
But it's not like what you have to do. Mm-hmm. Which Wonder Woman put the impetus on that. Like, we all have to do our part because we are here.
Right.
You know, but for me, the Spider-Man movie was like, well, you know, I don't know. It's strange. And the thing is that, okay, Gene, so you'll buy Wonder Woman on DVD. Yes, I will. You'll buy Spider-Man. Which one are you going to watch more? Sad thing is, I'm going to watch Spider-Man more than I do Wonder Woman.
I don't care what you're doing.
I know, because I relate to it better. But you know what I mean? The Easter eggs.
But that goes back to the whole relatability. Why I couldn't relate as much as I did with Tom as opposed to Toby. It's because of that the connection you have with that character. If you don't feel it, and Wonder Woman is obviously a woman, but the gender is not an issue. It's because of what she brings to the screen. You identify with that. That's what I couldn't do with Tom. I couldn't identify a whole lot with Tom. I enjoyed him, but I still couldn't get there, and it could be just because I'm going to be 50 in a month. It could be that I'm just, I'm past that feeling, you know. But I'm sure if I watch Pretty in Pink, I'm going to still root for Ducky, you know, because I'm Ducky.
Did you go to your senior prom?
I went to two senior proms, mine and my then, now, ex-fiance.
My point is, you can learn things by not being in the situation. You can learn, you can watch other individuals have an experience that you may or may not have and still learn from those things. I understand your inability to love a movie unless you can get into it.
Right.
But I will not accept the idea that you cannot learn things from another movie, which you do after rewatchability, seemingly to me.
Yeah.
But you have an integrity to yourself, sir, that you don't like it when you're lied to.
Yeah.
When the cinema directors, to try to even hold back, like, that's the big reveal. We don't want to give that away.
Right.
The reporter's like, hey, how about this? George R. R. Martin's like, the fans come with this theory, like, well, fuck, I'm going to rewrite it. You know, I'm just like, wait, you can't. This is a multi-million-dollar franchise, George. No, they got it right. I'm going to back to my reclusive ways and rewrite that. George, you've only got a few years to live. Could you do something? Could you just...
Well, now it's not even a matter of the fucking novel anymore.
No, they passed it.
Where we're going away, we're just doing our shit. We're finishing it up.
But understand what I'm saying here.
I know.
I mean, I feel bad that you have... It's not a handicap. I'm not going to... Well, I just said it. It's not a bad thing, but it's like... I watch movies, I'm like, Spider-Man's in the MCU now. That's a plus.
It is.
And they didn't fuck up his introduction in Civil War.
Right.
And this movie didn't fuck up.
No, it did. It did exactly what it had to do. Did I have a good time? Fucking, I had a great time.
This movie is laced with humor.
Yes.
It's got a believable, strong storyline that I still... Yeah, it's a lot better than a lot of the other summer stuff I've seen
right.
So far. I've seen some crap like, I mean, oh my God, that's how you're going to end this. You know, if you'd just taken the higher arc or just...
But, again, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I just didn't love it. I didn't love it like I would have with the first Spider-Man movie. So that's...
It's a seed, Monty.
So are you saying who planted the seed?
No. Wow, there's so many things. No, not saying that at all. I'm just saying
that... Because I can't really germinate that seed.
Okay, so honeybees. They have pollen. It rubs onto their bellies, and they carry the pollen to other plants that causes germination in those... No, okay, anyway. So my point is...
Birds are girls, and the bees are the boys? What?
Birds do it. Bees do it. Hey, even the... Yeah, I'm sorry. No, that's a Tank Girl song that doesn't fall through. Anyway, point is, I guess, I don't know much. It's just...
I know.
It was done for the love of Spider-Man and comic books. The story holds. You got good casting. Tom Holland's doing his job with the press.
I know.
Press loves him. He's doing a great thing. He did his own flip on the Jimmy Kimmel show with that preview. It's me. I can do it. All right. Good job.
So, again, there's nothing wrong with what he's done. Again, it's a good movie. It's a much better effort than Andrew Garfield. Okay? So, it didn't really have to jump that high, but it did a grand job. It did its job. That's fantastic.
But it for me, I don't want to see it again. It has good word of mouth, and I'm seriously curious about how it will do. You had a great
box office this past weekend.
Right,
we have Planet of the War of the Apes. That's going
to
be...
I'm not worried about that,
really?
To me. Wonder Woman, the phenomena of the Wonder Woman experience is so weird, because Wonder Woman did exactly what a motion picture should do, but shouldn't be able to do in these times.
Right.
There is so much other stuff coming out.
And it's still...
And somehow, people are still going to see Wonder Woman. Which I'm happy about. I'm like, how did that happen?
The odds
are so against that happening.
It could be a billion-dollar movie before it's done. I think it's only like $200 million out. I think it can do it before the summer's out.
I'm so impressed with that. Because it's just... I mean, like, before it came out, people were like, I don't know. Oh, my God, it's a mess. 6 months before, like, oh, it's going to be awful.
Right.
Like, no, not really. And yet, for me, I think, you know what? I want to see the Justice League movie because of Wonder Woman.
Right.
I don't want to see it for Batfleck. Superman's dead. I don't want to see... I don't care about Cyborg. I don't care about Aquaman. I don't care about this new Flash. But I do care about Wonder Woman.
Right. No, and then again, if she has the humor to offset Batman... She's going to be the heart of the truth.
If they let it be funny. Remember, Zack Snyder directed most of this. There's a personal tragedy, and although Joss Whedon is now charged, he's like, yeah, you're fired. I want Danny Elfman in here. I'm like, okay, fine. But you're changing history.
We'll see.
Which should have been. Edgar Wright, what was your movie going to be like? Fuck it, I did Baby Driver. That's fine. Okay, good. I want to see.
On that note, I'm curious to see what's going to happen the second week for this movie.
Will there be a tremendous drop-off? Will there be a
Right, because Wonder Woman had the lowest drop-off week to week, and it's still, like I said, it's still making money. So that's going to be a true testament to see what Sony is doing with Marvel. So I'm very curious to see what happens. Because it's good word of mouth about War of the Planet of the Apes. And I've seen the first two, and I fucking love it.
Yeah, but apes scare me.
I know they do. And like Jess,
I don't want to see it.
I know. And it's like, Jess, like...
She was in it. No.
She's like,
no,
you going to do a podcast with Gene? He's like, no, he ain't fucking ace. It's going to rip his face off.
So like, that poor woman that Morgan Fairchild did an Old Navy commercial with, and later on it attacked this...
On that note, I think we're pretty much done. I mean, this is a pretty long podcast to begin with.
But I'm just very happy. Look at the Spider-Man figure.
Oh, yeah, I know. So, but again, I'm glad that we live in a time that we have a really good Wonder Woman, a fantastic Spider-Man movie, and the year's still not done yet.
Do you have any wishes? Like, 20th Century Fox comes with senses and gives the Fantastic Four back?
That's not going to happen.
I know.
That's never going to happen.
Like Universal, Disney will go to Universal and say, how many zeros do I have to write this check to get the Marvel Universe back in our fucking parks? Because we're here. No. Or like the food in Disneyland will come over to Disney World because the food videos from Disney.
I know.
Why does that happen? Why is their food so much better?
And their rides are much better.
That's fine. I don't. But the food.
I know.
I like food.
Look, I think Sony needed to have this work.
But they're going to try the Venom movie with Tom Hardy.
I know. And that look at Kevin Feige's face.
Amy,
like,
don't.
What are you doing? You know, I thought you and I were cool on this. Yeah, I know, but I'm going to bring him.
Be cool for 20 hours and I'll give you 20 grand. That's what it is. It's the Smuggler's Blues, man.
I'm going to bring in Sable. Who?
God! Sable!
Black Cat? What? What are you trying to. What are you
give
trying
me that pipe. I know you have it on you. Give me the pipe!
Amy!
It's going to be great. Do you read the comics?
It's like, you know, the third Amazing Spider-Man would have been the whole introduction of that Sinister Six shit. I'm like, you know, it's not going to work.
It didn't work the first two times you did it. And then Andrew Garfield offended your board of directors. Yeah.
I think that the problem lies, if you have Batman's rogue of villains that are fantastic, the equivalent for Marvel, it has to be Spider-Man. He has a fantastic rogue to work with. But if you're going to kind of bogart your keepsakes, I would, let's do this a smart way. We already got a fucking Kingpin on Netflix with Daredevil.
That will never cross over.
That's a whole other issue. That's a whole other issue that pisses me off. If you can do a crossover and have Parker meet Kingpin, I would be flabbergasted. I would piss on my pants. I would take a crap in my hair, which I have none. So crap falls right out.
You would fill your gelada?
My gelada.
That's it.
My gelada. That would be amazing. That would be fucking amazing to see Kingpin and Spider-Man. But of course, they don't want to cross or mix the stream with a TV MCU versus the big MCU on the screen. That's a problem.
That's why, like, Gus, what's his name, isn't going to be in the Flash movie. Where you
I know. But you can argue with that side because you have Infinite Earths. You can argue that, and I'm fine with
but
that.
But not the Marvel Universe.
This one, it's closed, and that's like, come on.
But the interesting thing to me, though, I like the way, and I have to say this, I like the way that Spider-Man movies, except for the Green Goblin, which is the same problem you have with Khan in the Star Trek movies.
Yes.
Because that's, you know, he carries over. He's the only guy that generally carries over. Dr. Octopus's arms, whatever. Right. But the Green Goblin, it's like Khan. Fine. Uh-huh. And you cannot forgive. I can forgive. The Inner Darkness thing. But my thing is, I love the way they keep one-upping. Like, I'm so surprised. Like, Batman Begins, like, oh my god, the Batman franchise is dead. Who are you going to bring back? We bought Scarecrow for you?
Right.
And Ra's al Ghul! I'm like, oh my god, you brought back Ra's al Ghul! Right. I can't believe you did that. You get new villains every time. We're not rehashing. I'm like, that's cool. I can't believe Shocker and Vulture in this movie.
And Scorpion-ish.
Easter egg-y.
Right.
But I was just like, wow, how many people are in your rogues gallery, Spider-Man?
Right.
But I think this is it. Otherwise, you got Tombstone. You got, like, yeah, just, like, Ox. You got, like, Blockbuster. These are not...
Right. So, it's... What are you going to do? And the whole Venom thing, not being with Parker, I'm like, no, you can't
do Venom because he's from space. It's very difficult to being space unless you can tie it to the Guardians of the Galaxy because... Agent Venom, but that's just I love the life thing. It's Venom. I'm like, that would be too clever for Sony to do.
Right. And I haven't seen it yet, but...
And you've got Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal to be confused in space together in the same movie. Did you think about this, Sony? I don't think they did. But
no, anyway. But... Sable. That's where you're going to get. All right. So on that note... We're done with this podcast. Hip, hip, hooray.
Wow, you're tired.
Yes, I am.
So there you have it, folks. We have another movie review podcast in the can. So thank you very much for listening to us. You can always email us. Let us know what you thought about Spider-Man. I know, I've got to stop saying that. But it's a thing now. So... Email us at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. You can follow us on the various social networks. And before I go, I do want to give a plug to my daughter's artwork. She is now... I saw what she did recently, and she did a Spider-Man Homecoming. See, I didn't do the hyphen. But she did a Spider-Man Homecoming artwork that I'm very proud of. So she is on society6.com/... Are you implying? And it's not the letters R or U, it's just AREYOU implying. So there is going to be a link in the show notes. I would love for you to look at it. If you've not seen it already, it's already on Instagram. There is a link there. I would love for you to support her artwork. So it is up to you. If you do that, I thank you very much for doing that. So enjoy her artwork. I'm glad you listened to this podcast. So again, this is the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.